Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only. It's time to get off your ass and riot. Listen in as Big Fat John and Judo Larry M talk about whatever they damn well want to talk about. So turn up the volume, clean the crap out of your ears, and get ready to be entertained. Because we're ready to riot right now.
Okay, welcome to That Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larry M.
And we're happy to be back with you this week discussing the topics du jour. Is it du jour? How do you say week in French?
Week?
Yeah.
Semaine. Semaine. S-E-M-A-I-N-E.
Are you as confused as I am as why he would know the answer to that?
Well, obviously, my wealth of knowledge combined with my background in Latin. No, it's some French.
J'accuse du fagot.
Yes. And j'accuse it very small.
Not to imply that French is the language of gayness.
No, it is not.
Did not mean to imply that. So all you Francophiles out there
in Quebec,
take one of these.
Okay.
Anyway, this is your host, Big Fat John. As described before, you're watching The Riot, where we discuss everything that's important. Most of it isn't. A lot of it is funny, we hope. And Judo Larry, I must say, in recent weeks, I have been doing my special segment, Five Questions with Big Fat John. And as you know, we've had a lot of guest stars on there snagging the important interviews of the week. That seems to be doing very well with the viewers. They seem to like that.
Yeah, it's been a big hit. You've gotten some good responses.
Absolutely, yeah. And I'm just wondering, why do you always manage to disappear during those interviews? Everyone's saying, where's Judo Larry M during these?
Every time you start these interviews, you wait till I go to the bathroom or run downstairs to get a hot dog.
Yeah.
Or something else, and by the time I come back,
yeah,
you've wrapped up, and I miss some famous person.
All right. So this week's interview is with a very, very interesting person. Topical, always in the news, in the headlines, so stay tuned. We'll keep that a secret towards the end of the show. And Larry, I promise, I'm going to wait till after you come back from the John this time, or after your hot dog run, or whatever it is.
Good.
Because, like, just because it's called Five Questions with Big Fat John, doesn't mean you're not invited.
Oh,
so I want you to hang out, okay?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Also this week, as usual, behind the cameras, let's give a shout-out to Phil.
Good evening, gentlemen.
There you go. Phil, whose wife has informed me that she does not appreciate him dancing around with gay Puerto Rican gentlemen.
Nope.
She's very, very homophobic, Phil. You know that, right?
Mm-hmm. If he was smart, he would have said, well, how do you know? He's wearing a mask. I hope that camera's on.
Yes, that one. All right, let's get to the best part of the show, the bestest part of the show, which we call...
Pimping.
All right, you can catch us every day on the web, the address, thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com. Go there for all your riotous needs. Actually, we had so much traffic the past week that the site actually collapsed, Judo Larry. I had to spend some extra time doing some technical stuff on the site, but that's okay. That's a good problem to have. Keep hitting the site, thatriotshow.com.
It's especially a good problem to have because I don't know how to do any of this stuff to fix it, so John's stuck doing it.
Yes. Larry is not a technophile. But that being said, he doesn't have to be if you go to Facebook. So go to Facebook.com/thatriotshow, Facebook.com/thatriotshow, right there on your screen. Go to Facebook, become a fan of The Riot, join in the commentary and everything. That'll be great. And, of course, you could also find us on the meanest of the mean Twitter. Twitter.com/thatriotshow, Twitter.com/thatriotshow. You can join us there, where I spent the entire Republican debate this week responding to Hillary Clinton trolling the Republican candidates.
Hashtag lying cunt.
Hashtag lying cunt.
Let's get that going.
Yes. Definitely get that trending. And before I comment on the Hillary thing, I just want to make sure, Phil, do me a favor, roll the podcast scroll just roll that shit right now. Anywhere you want to find the podcast, if you don't have time to watch, but maybe you're driving, you're stuck in traffic, you want to put it on your iPod or your iPhone or your Droid device, any way you want it, that's the way you'll get it when it comes to the Riot. So just follow that scroll. You'll find us everywhere. Stitcher, iTunes, Podomatic, everything. Spreaker, Stitcher, Player.fm.
Sorry, I combined those.
Yes,
yeah, I just called it Spreaker.
By the way, if you try to register Spreaker.com, we're going to sue. Larry just came up.
That's right.
Yeah. There it is. But anyway, you can find us anywhere podcasts can be found. But the one thing, just to get back to what you were saying, it was interesting to me because Hillary Clinton was tweeting something about Donald Trump not standing up for Obama when one of the people in the crowd called him a Muslim, you right. know, and Trump just basically ignored it, and, you know, all the liberals are upset. Except that because Hillary Clinton is a lying cunt, she seems to forget the fact that the people who came up with the Obama is a Muslim and not born in America birther thing.
No.
Was actually Hillary Clinton in 2008. Her campaign was the first one to smear Obama with that right. nonsense. So when she tells you
Trump got associated with driving it,
yes,
but it was not his origin.
Yeah, I'm not defending Trump. Everyone knows, like, hey, I think he's a tool, and we'll get into that some more. And he certainly jumped up on and fanned the flames of the birther movement.
Yeah.
But the camp that came up with it was Hillary Clinton in 2008. Because people forget, she almost killed herself over the fact that Obama beat her in the Democratic primary. People forget that. You know, it's a distant memory to a lot of young people or whatever. But Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama did not get along.
Oh, no, they hate each other.
And it was a very bitter primary in 2008.
They can't stand each other. I'm always amazed that people think that because you're in the same party, that you're buds. Yeah. Let me tell you something. These people hate each other. I always tell people, read that book, Game Change.
Yeah.
They made a movie about it. It wasn't very good. But that book, how good was it? I read it. The second I finished it, I read it again. I tell people, it was so interesting about all the behind-the-scenes stuff. And I want to tell this to our fans out in Iowa, because now that Bernie's actually pulled ahead of her, good for you. Because what a lot of people forget is, in the book, there's lots of quotes from her about how much she hated Iowa. And she hated the people. And she complained that she had to stay in motels. There were no nice hotels to stay in. Because she's used to staying in 4-star, 5-star places. Let's face it. She complained about the restaurants.
Right.
They're all like chains, and there were no nice restaurants. She didn't like the people. She thought that she's in those rooms trying to talk about heady issues, and that they're judging like her clothes. And I mean, she does tend to wear like all orange or all yellow, but it's an interesting thing because she hates it there. So if you're out in Iowa, why are you voting for this person?
Yeah, and to be honest with you, I hate all that shit too. But guess what I do? I don't go to Iowa.
Yeah, and I don't run for president.
And I don't go to Montana, and I don't go to Ohio, and I don't go to any of the other shit stops that people, when you're a politician running for president, that you have to go pander to.
Yeah.
Like, I fucking hate those places. I mean, anybody that serves me a fried Twinkie as a primo dessert, I'm avoiding that state. Not the restaurant, the entire fucking state. I'm looking at you, Ohio.
Man, that is absolutely true. I remember from my trips to Green Bay. I'm not kidding. This became a running joke in my family. Everybody goes, you want fries with that?
Yeah.
Like, everything is greasy and lard and deep fried. I mean, if you're a personal trainer, you're out of business. You're out of business in that part of the country. You might as well be a dentist.
Or maybe you're in lots of business because there's always fatties around you.
No, but they don't care about it.
They don't care about it.
Oh, please, John, I've been there. They don't care about it. They think that's a joke. They think that's like big city stuff. Like, wow, you're taking care of yourself. Like, if they want to eat like a pile of shit with grits on it, they're going to do it.
Right? Why not?
There you go.
Oh, that's from the South. But it doesn't really matter. And look, anything north, south, east, or west of New York City, as far as I'm concerned, is an uncivilized wasteland. Like, honestly. And I don't
care. You're not going to fly over country.
Listen, when we were at Sirius, they always used to tell us, play down the New York angle. Don't let people know you're from New York. Why? Because that pisses people off.
Yeah.
That was the equivalent of telling us, talk about nothing other than New York.
Yeah, and when you do, only talk about it in glowing terms.
Yeah, exactly.
While pointing out that everybody else is counting.
Yeah. So our show started off with live from New York, and I would make reference to every street corner in New York City. Live from Times Square. Welcome to the corner of Seaman and Cumming, which is a street corner in New York City, by the way. Seaman and Cumming. Yeah. Yes, it is. Look it up. But anyway,
So they had the debate.
Yeah. Let me segue into that. So the GOP debate, which when I looked at it, again, I can't emphasize this enough, nothing but a parade of ass clowns. The debate format was ludicrous. Who's the guy who was running the debate on CNN? I forgot his name.
He did a terrible job.
Whoever he was, was it Chip Smith? I forget who it was.
I forget.
Whoever it was, horrible job of moderation.
No control.
No control at all. Donald Trump continues to both show why he's an idiot and at the same time baffle me that he's still in the running.
And the worst part, sorry to cut you off, but the one thing a lot of people noticed, even when other people were being asked questions,
they would
put a split screen on so you could see his reaction to it. Like, the concept of, I'm asking a question to Rand Paul, I'm asking Carly Fiorina a question, I'm asking Chrissy, gone. Every question, you'd see this.
Yeah.
It was almost like the interview we had.
He really is just someone who, as we've always said, is just someone who's there for the attention. He thinks he's been deluded into thinking he can win because people are paying attention to him. Now, look, I saw that debate. Again, I'm biased because he was my guy. I think Rand Paul at least conducted himself like a person. I think the Wall Street Journal did an analysis of which candidates interrupted other candidates the most. Obviously, Trump was first. Jeb Bush was second. You know who was the only person on that stage that didn't interrupt anybody else? Rand Paul. Like, he only spoke when spoken to. I don't know if that's good or bad in today's world.
Well,
I mean, it's genteel, but I don't know if it's good or bad.
Part of the reason it's bad is because he wasn't really asked enough questions.
Yes.
And he didn't get much of a chance to talk, so he was kind of on that perimeter with like Huckabee and these people. Like, they got like a few questions,
but for the most part,
they just had to stand there. And the worst part about it is it was 3 hours.
Yeah.
Why doesn't somebody understand? A debate cannot go more than 2 hours. That's it. 2 hours. And after that, it's crazy.
And you can't have like 12 people on the stage or 11 or whatever.
Well, unfortunately, the problem is because each one of them, with the exception of Trump, was like 30-something%, they're all kind of men. So you have to be fair. You've got to give them a shot to, but look, eventually the herd will thin.
Yeah,
Already. Rick Perry is out.
Right.
And soon, Jindal and Pataki will be out. There's other Gilmore. He'll be out. This is going to be a process now. I don't think Huckabee can last much longer.
Right.
But
it was sad to watch the discourse on it. Because of Trump, mainly.
He lowered it to like the level of a Jerry Springer, I think.
Even lower than that. It was like he didn't even stay on point. I know at one point they were asking him about his lack of foreign policy knowledge, not experience, because he's not a politician. But they started asking him, like, you didn't know who the president of this country was, you didn't know who the premier of that country was. And his response was to ask someone on the panel if they enjoyed his radio appearance last week. Like, wasn't my interview with you really good?
Yeah.
Oh, who's that guy? I forget the guy's name. Some old radio guy who was part of the moderation panel.
Yeah, he asked him about the leader of the Iranian security force.
Yeah, and he just kept saying, like, wasn't I a good... You told me I was a good guest. You said I was a good guest. And it's like, he spent a minute arguing about whether he was a good guest or not.
Right.
As opposed to saying, here's my foreign policy positions. Here's my foreign policy knowledge.
Well, he has no specifics.
No, he has no specifics.
Everything, if he's not saying that... He's always talking about, I'm doing so well in the polls.
Yeah.
Look, all that proves is what we've been talking about for weeks. People are done. Like, because, again, look who's doing well. Fiorina, Trump, Carson. What do you know about those three people? Not a governor, not a senator, not a congressman, not a politician. He's just cashing in on the fact that people are, a lot of people on the right are done.
Yeah.
They don't mind. And, of course, that's terrible news for Bush, Walker, Paul, Rubio. They're established people in politics. There's a lot of people, they're just done. They're not going to vote for these people. They're done with it because what they're thinking is, you can see it, this person maybe gets elected in 2016.
Yeah.
By 2019, I'm thinking, well, this person sucks. Who are we going to replace them with?
Yeah.
That's it. That's the problem. And this goes on. And look, to some extent, that's true. This goes on every 4 years. And are we going to reelect person A or are we going to replace them with it? And you have the people we're done with it. And they think that somebody needs to come in and, like, blow up the system and, you know, a big, loudmouth, brash idiot like Trump appeals to people who are looking for that.
The only problem with that is the following. And, look, I'm not necessarily – I hate big government. Everyone knows that. I hate the power of big government. The problem with that is, though – the same way you couldn't expect someone without any business knowledge, without any product knowledge, to run a huge conglomerate, the same way you can't expect someone with no experience to run government. I mean, people who want to shake things up, you make them a secretary of something where they can hide, they could use career diplomats or whatever, and they could form it, you know. But, like, I mean, would you expect the head of Apple to be someone who didn't know anything about computers? And their only virtue was, I'm an outsider to computers? Odds are, you would say to yourself, no, I want someone who knows about computers. Maybe I don't need someone who's been building the same computer for 40 years, but I'd like someone who at least knows something about it. And it's the same thing with president. No, you know, you might be tired of the guys who have been in the Senate for 40 years, the congressmen, or the... But you know what? You need someone who's at least been through the process, who's been elected to something. Like, listen, Obama, what was one of our main complaints about him, aside from the fact that he was a socialist? He had no experience. He was a senator for 18 months. That was it.
Yeah.
And even his Senate election was kind of goofy because he had no experience to be a senator.
Right.
But you know, so when you look at people like that, you're like, well, and look, Obama has shown that throughout his entire presidency,
yeah,
that he wasn't ready. He didn't know how to negotiate with people.
Yeah, he's enough.
You know, you can't blame the lack of negotiation with Congress solely on Republicans. It's Obama not knowing how to deal with opposition. Why?
Right.
He's never had to. Shit, even a lot of Democrats say Obama's impossible to deal with.
Yeah, and
when
that
you
is
get,
a condescending answer.
Yeah, when you take him in the room, like how many times did Democrats come away saying, we can't talk to this guy, he won't help us, he won't negotiate, he won't cut a deal, you know?
He's totally inflexible.
So, hey, maybe that appeals to you, but that's why you have gridlock. So by saying Trump is an outsider, that's not entirely a virtue, and it became.
Yeah, but it is. It is.
Well,
it is
to low information voters.
Because,
I hate to say it,
but because the truth is, if look, the likelihood is if you do elect Bush or Walker or Paul or whatever, things probably aren't going to change very much. They're going to go to D.C. and they're going to get consumed by it.
I think
just like Hillary or Bernie would. So,
yeah, I honestly, I don't think things are going to change too much with Trump in there. I just think it might be worse.
Well, I don't think he's going to get in.
First of all, he's not going to get in, but in
but,
that
I mean, you have
scenario,
to be, you should be looking for, like, I'm supporting Fiorina, who was clearly the winner. And every TV show, everything I watch from Fox, CNN, and Morning Joe, they all just kept talking about how well she did. But, like, I responded to, the first time I saw her speaking back in June, that this seems like a really intelligent person who answered the questions directly. Even her answers on the military last night were better than anybody else's. They all said that. And I was like, well, you know what, I understand. So her extent of your right, her knowledge of in being in politics, is she ran for Senate once and she lost. Now, of course, I don't think anybody, and I don't think any challenger would have beaten Boxer, but at any rate, out in California, I mean, she's like an institution out there, like Dianne Feinstein, but I understand what you're saying, but you have to realize, I'm one of these people to that extent, because I'm not interested in voting for it, even though I kind of like Rand Paul, but he kind of got away from the libertarian thing. And
but he's trying to get back to it, I noticed last night, but anyway, I think Fiorina did very well for herself. I'm not a Fiorina supporter. I still think she's way too religious for my taste. I don't. She's very overdramatic when it comes to running your life. It's just that she wants to do less of it than some of the others. But
did she tell me you saw that in an interview?
Yeah, and I mean, she still talks about, you know, she still talks about we have to protect the children and, oh, you know, abortion is horrible. I'm not pro-abortion. I'm not pro-choice. But, like, I mean, she overdramatizes it, you know. And I agree she did really well for herself. She came off really solid. She handled the whole Trump controversy of him making fun of her look. She handled that very well. I'm just not a supporter. I'm not. Look, Ben Carson, I'm not a fan of either. I think he came off well. I just don't think he's a conservative. I don't think he's a libertarian. I don't think he's a good Republican. I think he's just a hallelujah who has no home in the Democratic Party. I mean, when they asked the question about the minimum wage, of course, the correct answer about the minimum wage, which is what Rand Paul and some others said, was there should be no minimum wage. There should just be a free market of opportunity. Ben Carson's response was, well, there should be one, but it shouldn't be $15, and you should have a minimum wage for kids, which can be lower than the minimum wage for adults who are trying to get back. In other words, when I hear that sort of nonsense, it tells me two things. One, he's not a real conservative. He's not a real free market enterprise type of guy. So that's a strike in my book. And then the second thing is, when you start to explain the minimum wage and it has like binary options and indexing and shit like that, you've already fallen into the trap of government is the solution. It's just that you think your solution is better than somebody else's. So that's why Ben Carson, for me, out. And the religious
angle. I would rather, he's out. If you're going to talk about the minimum wage, I'm not a supporter of it, but you know what? If you think it's a good idea, you know what? At least tell me this, that you think it should be controlled by the states. Because, you know, the cost of living in New York is different than Mississippi, and like different places. Like, at least if you're going to tell me you're going to stick people with this idea, at least tell me you understand that the economics are different from state to state. Something like that. But yeah. I know what you mean. The thing with Ben Carson, which I will say, I get the feeling he's just a very smart, decent guy. Like, I don't get the feeling that to that extent, he's not a politician. Like, he just seems like a nice guy. Now, I mean, on the other hand, I can't make the mental commitment to why he should be president.
I can't either, yeah.
But if you were to say to me, like, who's just like a nice person?
Yeah,
like a nice guy.
But there's a lot of nice guys and gals who don't deserve to be president. I think Ben Carson falls into that.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Like, you want to make...
But that's about it.
You want to
make... Bad. God,
look, man. If someone gets elected and want to make him Surgeon General, fine. That's a job he should handle. That's what I mean.
But I don't worry about that with him. Like with Hillary, I think her and her husband are slimy.
Oh, Hillary's a cunt. She's a lying cunt.
That's
we know that.
That's
but when we're talking about the Republicans, so that's why Ben Carson to me out, Huckabee out, obviously, him taking up for Kim Davis. Ted Cruz out for me, because where he may have started with some potential, that whole hallelujah, born again, I have to stand with Kim Davis, and him and Huckabee literally jostling for position at the
Among evangelicals and, yeah.
Fucking disgusting as far as I'm concerned, okay?
And how presidential is this guy? Did you see the video of him shooting a machine gun?
I didn't see that.
Shooting a machine gun at a gun range. Then and wrapping bacon around it. Then after he cooked the bacon, he ate the bacon.
That was Cruz?
No, that was Cruz.
Cruz?
Yeah, a couple of months ago he did that.
Mas Macho.
Oh, come on. that's about as presidential as that squirrel on Trump's head.
But Cruz is out. Rubio, to me,
I like him.
He keeps oscillating. On the one hand, I think there's times when he looks half decent. Then there's times when he just feels like he's falling back into bad habits. I'm concerned about the fact that he didn't do his job in the Senate. He's the most absentee senator in terms of voting. They brought it up during the debate. He addressed it. He said that he felt there wasn't anything he could do in the Senate, so he went out and instead tried to address problems in his state. Look, maybe that's true, but if you get elected to do a job, do your fucking job. Like Kim Davis.
I mean, they're allowed to miss a certain amount of votes.
Yeah.
I mean, none of them make all their votes.
But when you're number one.
But yeah, when you're number one and you're only there like 52% of the time, that's whatever the hell the number is, that's a problem.
So,
but I like him, though. I don't dislike
Jeb Bush, I'm not interested in having another Democrat in Republican clothing run for president. Trump, we all know, is an asshole. So when you look at these ass cons, same thing with Pataki. Pataki could possibly be the most, what was that, Phil?
Christie's
a fat fuck with male camel toe. We're not electing somebody that fat president, even if he was decent, which he's not.
Well, that's bad news for Hillary.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, the problem with Hillary is she has bigger cock than Christie does.
Wow.
Allegedly.
I used to be the person who caused allegedly to come all the time. John's like, oh, you can't say that. Now, like the last five shows in a row, he's like taking it over where I'm minding my P's and Q's. What the fuck is going on?
Well, at least I know enough to say allegedly right off the bat.
Oh,
but
yeah,
anyway,
you do.
But anyway, so when you look at the Republican side, there aren't many people I can support, honestly. Like, Rand Paul did disappoint me with a lot of the hallelujah stuff, but I still think he's, at the end of it, his economic policies are probably the ones most that I'm in tune with. I did like the fact that he stood up to Trump, and he basically...
The only thing I like about him at this point is at least he stood up to Trump, because Trump has been ridiculing him like crazy. Trump made some comment to him like, you only have like 4%, why are you even here? or you're lucky to be here, yeah, or something like that, or he said he looked like a little boy, or like he made some stupid comment. Of course, that's ultimately really the problem with Trump. He's just trying to insult his way to the presidency.
Yeah, and the thing with Trump is, if you, other than his wall around the southern border, he really has no plank on anything. And
right.
I think that's why, and look, let me just digress for half a second. William F. Buckley, Larry, when he was alive, one of the first things he did when he took over the National Review and he started being a voice for conservatives in this country was he tried very hard to root out the racists in the conservative wing of the Republican Party.
He tried to
ram
them out.
He ran them out. He used whatever legal means he could to disavow and disenfranchise the conservatives, basically of southern racists, which was the biggest problem.
And anti-Semites. He ran them out.
Exactly. Because he knew how dangerous that was in perception. It almost seems like Donald Trump is trying to undo that work in this presidential cycle. In other words, I don't think it's unfair if you hear Democrats or liberals criticize Trump by saying he's taking advantage of latent racism of a certain percentage of the Republican electorate.
There's no doubt.
There's no doubt about that.
Whatever their feelings are, especially in the South and the Midwest, about the Hispanics coming in the country, he is clearly trying to milk that for every vote he can. In fact, quite honestly, it's actually that part of the country where he is most popular.
Yeah.
In the Republican base. Like in New York, they hate him. I mean, they do. The Hollywood, that area, LA,
Chicago,
California, they hate him. Oregon, Washington State, they hate him. Some radio show in Boston the other day, like, goofed on him for like an hour. If you look at that, like, well, I guess those are blue areas, but if you like, can't stand him. They can't stand him. They think he's a fucking tool.
So, and that reason alone should be something where other Republicans are standing up to him. Rand Paul, and again, I know he's my boy, so I'm preaching on him a little bit, but Rand Paul has made an outreach to both Hispanics and African Americans in this country, especially the youth. I mean, Rand Paul, and I'll give credit to Bernie Sanders, too. Bernie Sanders went to Liberty University
Jerry Falwell,
for a Q&A. So he went into the lion's den. I respect that. I don't necessarily respect people who preach to the converted already. Like Hillary Clinton going to NYU to give a speech on female empowerment is bullshit, because she's talking to nothing but a bunch of leftist feminists, including questionable men.
Yeah.
Okay? That doesn't impress me. What impresses me is when Bernie Sanders goes to Liberty University and preaches his nonsense to the people who are diametrically opposed to him.
Right.
All right? Sanders is an atheist. Sanders is a socialist. He's a leftist. That's the exact opposite of everything you can say about Liberty University.
Yeah.
For those of you that don't know, founded by Jerry Falwell.
Conservative, Christian, very white.
Yeah, okay.
They're not interested in Bernie's socialism and his Vermont socialism.
Right. Before he announced officially that he was running for president, where was Rand Paul visiting? Howard University,
right.
Grambling University, traditionally black colleges. And he stood there and he took the heat from very opposed kids, okay? That is what you have to do a proper outreach. Just saying that the Republicans need to capture more black vote, more Latino vote, doesn't mean anything unless you show an effort. Like, not necessarily pandering, but show an effort that they're included in your party. That's what I've always claimed. Like, you don't have to see, if you're a Republican, you're never going to beat the Democrats at the I'm giving you free stuff game. Ever. Okay? Because Democrats have that wired between welfare and programs, and
Medicare,
and everything, Obamacare. You're not going to give away more shit, even though Republicans try, than Democrats will. What you have to do as a Republican, as a conservative, as a libertarian, is to say, you're welcome to succeed in this country. You, African American, you Latino, you Asian, you have the opportunity to succeed just like everybody else, and that's what we're going to protect for you. That's what we're going to offer you. To sit there and say, hey, vote for me because I speak Spanish like Jeb Bush is trying to do.
Yeah, and I'm going to raise taxes and give you free shit.
It's bullshit.
That's crap. What we need is what John was talking about. What Reagan proposed back in the days was the conservative opportunity society. And just talking about a society where the capitalist system is free to grow and you are free to grow within it. And keeping government off you. But I mean, to that extent, you're right. The past 20 years or so, the Republicans have become like the Democrats' light.
Yeah.
Because unfortunately, the trend does seem that, especially for younger people, if you look at the people turning out to see Bernie Sanders, These are people who more and more, unfortunately, want government
entitlements
to do shit and yeah. entitlements. You know, that guy, Moynihan, I forget his first name.
Patrick.
No. Moynihan, he's at Reason Magazine. He's the libertarian.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were the libertarian.
Yeah, he's on that show, Red Eye, I like a lot. But he was on and he was talking about the libertarians in Reason. They did a whole thing about college campuses. And the first thing they found out was that young kids basically agreed with the libertarians about their view of individual freedom and, you know, prosperity and then all that. He goes, then we also found out, it was like 80% of them want the government to do it for them or set them up for it or have some kind of handout or, like, you know, in other words, to make it so that it's just a layup for you.
Yeah, yeah.
That you don't really have to struggle and do shit. And like that, we do this show every week, hoping to get somewhere. You know,
yeah.
They don't. They really don't want to have to put very much work into it.
Yeah.
They agree that that's the kind of society they want, but they also agree they want a society where the government goes, well, all right, like here you go.
Yeah, and that's really not any sort of libertarianism or anything.
But what I was pointing out that he was pointing out that the libertarians talk to these kids, and you know the concept of a system where they can make money and do well and be happy. That's fine, but the concept of you're going to get up and do it yourself and make opportunities and get out there and go.
They're looking for
the nanny state.
And that's where Republicans have to distinguish themselves.
Yeah,
you know that's why I still think Rand Paul is probably the best one for this kind of message. You have some congressmen like and senators like Mike Lee, who's the other one in Texas? I forget his name right now. Congressman, but there's a few pockets of resistance, as I like to say, where like the ideals of what made this country what it is still exist, and we're not going to get anywhere with the Jeb Bushes. We're not going to get anywhere with Democrats like him and Donald Trump. We're not going to get anywhere with the Hallelujahs like Mike Huckabee, like Ben Carson, to some extent
Santorum,
to some extent Carly Fiorina. Scott Walker, I don't know what the fuck happened to him. He showed some balls when he was governor, and now all of a sudden it's like, I don't know, he went from being in the top of the polls.
I can tell you exactly what happened.
What's that?
The problem for Walker is the same problem with Bush and some of the other. They start their campaigns, and you hire these professionals who run campaigns. And what happens is, they develop for you your message.
Right.
Like, you know, you can give them like a general, like, this is what I like, this is what I want to do. And then they give you,
here's what you
their time-tested ways of doing things. And I'm not kidding. You're talking about hiring people that, like if you're Jeb Bush, helped his brother get elected, and helped his brother get reelected, and helped his dad get elected. You're talking about people like Karl Rove, people who are experts, and they give you, 1, 2, 3, 4, this is what you do. This person says that, you say this. You don't get too colorful, plain vanilla. Safe. And you know, when you're talking about being in the primaries, this is the problem that some of them ran, the problem that Rand Paul ran. Rand Paul is a libertarian. That's who he is. That's who he should be. That's how he made his name.
Right.
Then about in July, started doing the religious thing. I saw him in an interview. I was like, what's he doing? He's never talked about this before. In the past, he's talked about the Bill of Rights. He's talked about outreach.
Right.
Okay? Then, now he's getting back to it. But he went through a period of, he realized, like, somebody told him, look, a lot of this party, you know, these evangelicals and, you know, people who John and I coined Hallelujahs, very religious people, is what that means, in case you're wondering. And they tell you, this. Look, I like Fiorina, John doesn't. I don't think she's terribly scripted, but the only person who's clearly not scripted at all is Trump. Saying every dumb fucking thing that comes out of his mouth. But the problem is, they get people who start running their campaigns, and that's what happened to Walker. Instead of showing his balls on unions, and that he survived those a recall and like whatever else happened, and that he turned their economy around, and he cut their debt for like nothing, and just all the good things, it's gone.
Yeah.
All for safe plan. And now, combined with the people who don't want established politicians, he's gone from like 12, 14, he's down to like 6%.
Yeah, and I think at least Rand Paul, to your point, may start to be going back because he may have realized that someone gave him bad advice or steered him into a corner or something. Because when he came out for the Kim Davis thing, I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
Like, Paul has always been someone who says, if you want to be religious, go ahead. And I think he is religious personally. But he's never made it a central theme of his campaigns.
Right.
Until, you're right, until this past summer.
He's not like Huckabee and Santorum.
No, definitely not.
That they're going on about. I mean, Huckabee's actually gone the extra mile becoming a pastor.
Right.
He's not just somebody who's religious like Santorum, who's a devout Catholic. He's not that.
No.
But he started doing it for a couple of times. And I was like, oh, that's a sellout. But you know what? I like him, so I hope he gets back to it. The only thing is, at this point, I just don't see where he goes from here. Because you know what his other problem is? He still has a lot of just established Republicans who, they're not libertarians.
Right.
And they think he's an isolationist.
Right.
They don't think he's tough enough. And they're looking at what's going on in Syria. They're looking at all these Muslims swarming into Europe. They're looking at ISIS. They're looking at Putin. The Chinese are keep fucking with us. And if he's an isolationist, well, he's not. But they think he is. And if they think he's going to back off all this stuff, because his words, America should really pick and choose. You know, we're fighting our interests. That's not going to work with Republicans. You know why?
With a lot of Republicans.
A lot of Republicans. You know what they want to hear? The truth is, they want to hear what Trump is saying. We're going to win. And you're going to get tired of winning. And he sounds like George Steinbrenner when he was alive. We're going to win. We're going to kick your ass. He keeps saying, you're going to get tired of winning when I get tired of winning. I mean, you know, it was clearly the implication.
But
is, you know,
just to show you the difference between the two, and I'm glad it took place, but there was a little exchange between Rand Paul and Trump during that debate. And at one point, Rand Paul said, look, didn't we get past this when we got out of high school? Like, why is this debate being treated like an 18-year-old's debate, where it's you make fun of somebody or you're talking about somebody's face or whatever? Haven't we emerged from the schoolyard? And Trump's response to that was, well, I never called you ugly, but if I did, I'd have plenty of material to work with. Look at you, you know. Look at that response from someone you think you want to be your president.
Is that presidential? Is that statesmanlike?
Right. It also shows you a lack of being able to think creatively, because his response to everything was an insult. Everything was an insult.
That's his thing.
Right. So if he doesn't start a statement by saying, here's my prepackaged statement, like meaning Trump, I'm going to build the wall, you're going to be tired of winning, Rosie O'Donnell's a fat dyke, whatever his opening statement is, if you put him in a position where he has to respond to something, pay attention next time. It's always an insult.
Yeah, it is.
And it never has anything to do with the question at hand. When they asked him about his foreign policy experience, what did he say? I'm the best interview you've ever had. What the fuck does that have to do with foreign policy? Even remotely. Even remotely.
On any level.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
Even after the Fox.
I know the count.
He was on Twitter all night just making fun of Megyn Kelly.
Yeah.
Now look, I think she's okay. I'm not crazy about her. But that's what you do? And the worst part about this last one, you're at the Reagan Library. I mean, this is his legacy.
Yeah.
Conservatives claim that they love Ronald Reagan as much as I do. Please, I campaigned for him in 80 when I was 17. And trust me, handing out flyers in Manhattan, New York City. You know how much of verbal abuse I took? Did Ronald Reagan insult his way to the presidency? I don't remember him insulting Jimmy Carter. He just pointed out differences.
Yeah.
That's all. He just said, the Iranian hostage crisis, that wouldn't have happened if I was president.
Right.
21% interest rates, 14% inflation. Forget it. That's all. That's how you do it. And to that extent, I like Rand Paul. He stood up to him. Even stupid Bush has stood up to him. I mean, finally.
Yeah.
But that's after 2 months of being a punching bag and being called a low-energy guy.
Yeah. Like, Bush was really someone that thought he was going to just saunter in, have his money-making apparatus in place, and just be, much like Hillary, just get the nomination based on it's my turn and my name recognition. Bush, again, not anyone I'm interested in.
No.
I think he's a Democrat. Same thing with Trump. Again, Huckabee Carson stated hallelujahs. Santorum stated born again or whatever the fuck he is, hallelujah. I'm not interested in any of those.
The only problem is I don't like that either, all the religious stuff, as everyone knows. But, you know, at this point, it's a little redundant only because, with the exception of Trump, they all are. I mean, they all are. I mean, even Christie's he's a good Catholic.
At least I'll give Christie credit. I haven't heard him in...
No, he doesn't. No, he's a Northeasterner. He doesn't go on about it, but he is.
Oh, that's
fine.
It's not
like he's an atheist or Nazi like Bernie Sanders.
No. In other words, it's not the fact that they are religious that I'm against.
It's
the fact that they use God to justify their policies.
Right.
That's the part that I... That's what I mean by a hallelujah. Like, Huckabee When, like, if you ask him any policy question, if it goes on for more than 30 seconds, you will hear Jesus and you will hear God.
Yeah, you will hear the good Lord.
Right. Ben Carson, the same thing. Okay? So those two, just on principle alone, I can't even come close to voting for. Like, yeah, I think Rand Paul is a devout Christian. But up until this summer, I never heard him use it as a justification for anything. You know, yeah. He never said, I'm a Christian, therefore... you know, I'm going to operate on the eyes of poor Costa Ricans.
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
Right? Okay? He did what he did, and certainly his father and him are both pro-life. And they just said, as doctors, we took this oath, and ethically, we can't destroy life. Okay? Whether you agree with it or not, that's not even a religious point that they're making.
No, they're making
an ethical
commitment to their ethical belief.
Their ethical belief is doctors, okay? So fair enough. You may or may not agree with it. Whereas Huckabee will tell you Jesus doesn't want that to happen. Yeah. You know, it's like,
I mean, I got to tell you, though, very quickly. That thing, we had the interview with Kim Davis. I hope everybody enjoyed it.
Yes.
But when she was let out of that prison, and I got to tell you, and listening to that stupid Eye of the Tiger and her coming out and just... And then having some guy like block Cruz from getting on the stage.
That was
hilarious. No, but it's pathetic.
But it was, I don't know if you people know, but it was a Huckabee staffer who refused to let Cruz up on the podium, even though Cruz was invited there by the Kim Davis folks. So he was invited, but Huckabee said, this is my deal. like the Born Again segment is mine. Get the fuck out. It was almost like two mafia dons settling who owns a particular corner, or two drug dealers saying, this is my corner, you go sell your shit three blocks away. And it was almost like Honor Amongst Thieves, like, no, Teddy, this is Mike H's group here. Like, you guys you can't horn in on this.
That whole thing was just awful. And then, of course, Kim Davis, did you see the husband?
No.
He was the one with the big overalls and that goofy hat. I mean, he looked like an extra from Hee Haw. I mean, it was embarrassing.
Justin?
No, he was on the stage. I mean, the rest of the rooms were, you know, they were there with their crosses and why does everybody hate Jesus?
You know? Much unlike our former program director, we don't mind calling you Rubes either.
Yeah.
Because you are Rubes.
Fuck yeah.
And you can call us Jews if you want. That's okay. Because like, everybody from New York
is
Jews.
You know, not a Hallelujah.
Who?
Matt Damon.
Oh, see, you beat me to the segue. Okay.
There you go.
Because why? Segway.
Segway, baby. Clean the segue.
There you go. Yeah. But, yeah, so there was, leaving the Republican debate behind now, talking about Matt Damon. Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, he who owned slaves, whose family owned slaves, by the way. I love mentioning that every time. They have something called Project Greenlight.
On HBO,
and that's really this, I guess it's sort of a reality show contest type of thing, where they take some amateur filmmakers, producers, directors, and they have them compete, and the winner gets their movie greenlit, which is industry term for you're getting it made.
Yeah,
you're getting it financed, and it's going to get made.
Entertainment.
So if you're in the entertainment industry at all, it's interesting just to watch this process, the creative process.
Behind the scenes.
The business process of how do you get something funded and how do you pitch it and all that. Well, apparently, Larry, there was this African-American lady, a female producer. Her name was, what was it?
Effie Brown. I believe that's how it's pronounced.
And why don't you tell us what happened?
She was sitting on the show, and
this is on camera.
And they're sitting around like this little table, and she brought up the issue of diversity, and in particular, she was concerned about this one scene where apparently the only minority in this flick, whatever they were promoting, this black woman was a prostitute, and there was a scene where now check this out. Talk about oxymorons. Her white pimp smacks the shit out. So at any rate, now she's already, you can see she's uncomfortable with it. Now I'm uncomfortable with it because white pimp, get the fuck out of here. What is this, 1820 or something?
I'm not. I'm perfectly cool with it.
Have you ever seen any, like other than in a movie? But you see how stupid it is? Like rather than doing like, so she brings this up. And she'd like to see a little more diversity. Now, part of it, she feels that, so the director of this scene, to give it the proper sensitivity, now this means already, from her, can't be a white guy. Yeah. All right, that's out. So she wants him to be, the director to be, a minority, preferably black, maybe Asian. She threw out something like that. So at any rate, Matt Damon cuts right in and goes, the diversity is in the casting of the movie, not the casting of the show. Meaning the people behind the scenes, director, producer, it almost doesn't matter about the diversity. It's in front of the camera. And she went,
wow.
She was like stunned. So after this little...
Which, by the way, yeah. And let me just cut in over there.
Yeah, go ahead.
Wow is just a liberal's response to, I can't logically debate what you just said.
Yeah.
It's just that it offends me, and I'm not going to give you a reason why. Yeah. Which I guess is fine. You're allowed to be offended for no reason.
It's okay to be stunned for a few seconds. If somebody stuns you, that's fine. I stunned John that one time. He goes, I'd be more impressed if he said he had cocks in his mouth. I said, no, you wouldn't. Like, I mean, you know, that's an old show. But it's okay to be stunned, but you can still speak. I mean,
yeah.
She apparently was like so flabbergasted. She went, like, wow. Okay, so then after this, on social media, Matt Damon gets destroyed.
By the way, the social justice warriors
came out.
SJWs.
Yeah, left-wing scum. So here they are. They crawl out from their filthy rocks, and they start destroying Mr. Progressive himself, Matt Damon. He starts getting all these sarcastic emails, people destroying him. So now...
What's it called?
It's called... Basically, you know what it's called? It's called what we do every Friday. It's called whitesplaining. They accuse him of whitesplaining, and some other people tweet they call it Damonsplaining. So, so what it came down to is this sense of white males in total control and power of apparently the whole planet and a couple of other planets.
Yeah.
So white male power and lecturing other people, minorities, what it means to suffer or have diversity, and then giving their point of view of it. But of course, to the people you're talking to, white males couldn't possibly know what this is about. You couldn't know what it means to suffer.
White people suffer all the time. Have you seen my paycheck? Half of it goes away before I even get to touch it. That is suffering.
You know what suffering is? Every time I go into a store, I got to listen to rap music.
That's fucked up.
So naturally, he gets destroyed.
Of course.
On social media. I mean, I'm not kidding. The people that they went right, they destroyed him. So to the point where he felt the need to come out and...
apologize. By the way, that's how you know you're a fucking pussy.
This looks like Affleck, and this looks like Damon.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry. I'm a pussy.
He's a pussy.
He apologizes.
Yeah, listen. Here's what we have to say about this. Matt Damon, you're a fucking vagina.
From Boston.
That's what you are.
Red Sox.
Yeah, well, first of all, just being from Boston, you're already 95% vagina. The other 5% comes when you start apologizing for bullshit. First of all, as we've always said, liberals cannot do math. Because if you wanted diversity according to your numbers, black people, do you know what that really works out to when you're 12% of the population? 1 out of 10 people. Which, by the way, I have a feeling you're more than 1 in 10 people on most movies. Okay? That's the first thing. So second thing, who the fuck says that everything in society is proportional to the number of your race in the country? Are you saying that if 12% of millionaires are black, you can't have any more black millionaires? Because that's what you're saying, because then proportionally you'd have more black millionaires than black population. Are you saying that 60%, 65% of the NFL has to be white because that's how many white people there are in society? That only 2% of Jews can run banks, even though we know they run all of them?
Can we flash white splaining?
Okay. So first of all, where did this myth come from that everything in society is proportionate to your race's representation?
Right.
That's not the way life works, you dumb fucks. So first of all, anybody who says diversity, diversity, we need diversity, is bullshit. What they're asking for is a handout. That's what it comes down to. It's more socialism.
Yeah, but they're also looking for overrepresentation.
But that too. You know, it's everything all fucked up about it, okay?
Yeah.
Because everybody wants to be represented when they're low in the field, but nobody wants to quit when they're overrepresented in the field. I'm waiting for 90% of the NBA to quit to get some more Asians, Italians, Greeks, Polacks, and other white people in there. Why isn't that a big progressive stand?
Yeah. How about the NFL?
Or the NFL or any sport.
Isn't that like 85%
black, right? Yeah, whatever it is. See, I don't think of shit like that because I wait for people to achieve what they achieve. The only time I get upset is when someone's prevented from doing something. Right. So if this Effie Brown, if Matt Damon walked up to her and said, you have to fire everybody you cast because I am a racist, that's a problem. Diversity for the sake of diversity is nonsense. You know how you get diversity? By including everyone and giving everyone the opportunity, let the cream rise to the top. Exactly. Diversity for the sake of diversity is nothing more than coercion. That's all it is. Because if you say, I need, out of every 100 people, I need 12 blacks, I need 65 white people. What's Latino in the population? 22%. 22 Latinos. 2 Jews. Oh, but wait, what if you have black Jews? Do they count with the blacks or the Jews? I'm not sure on that one. What about if you're half white, half black, like Obama? Do you count towards the white 65% and the black 12%?
No, or do we have 77%.
Or do we have a mulatto category that we have to represent? Do you see what the problem is? When you enforce diversity for the sake of diversity, you are a fucking racist.
Yeah, that's nonsense.
You are reducing people to nothing but numbers. You are destroying people's souls. You are destroying their individuality. Diversity, if it occurs naturally, is wonderful. The thing is, if you force it, it becomes, Larry, that's it, coercion and racism.
It's bullshit, yeah. And besides, who has more overrepresentation in Hollywood than the Jews?
Or in the banking industry.
Allegedly.
Yeah, but that's an old joke. But so this bitch is wrong, and also Matt Damon is wrong. And like I said, Matt Damon, biggest mistake he ever made in his life was apologizing.
Yeah, he should have just stuck to his guns.
Because now I guarantee you his next movie is going to be diverse by ethnic representation.
But it's also going to suffer because you're going to have a lot of these assholes that are going to refuse to see it. And the reason I say that is because while I was on my way to the studio, I saw some picture with his face in an astronaut suit. And it's some movie he made about being in Mars, and it says, bring this man home, or something like that. Yeah. You watch, there's going to be like a stupid backlash against it, because this is how we do things now. Like, everybody has to be punished for what they said.
Look, someone's going to complain that there wasn't a black astronaut with him on Mars.
Yeah, if people think, look, if Matt Damon thinks that the version app is in front of the camera, or not behind, or whatever, look, that's his fucking opinion. Obviously, that's what he meant, because he jumped right in on it and pointed it out. But it's nice to see progressives getting their ass.
I was going
to
say that.
Between Affleck getting divorced, fuck you, and all the rumors that he cheated and his nanny, and now watching Mr. Liberal, nice guy himself, Damon, get caught for being a douchey and white-splaining.
That's what I love about liberals. Liberals are the biggest pit of vipers that you've ever seen in your life. Why? They will turn on one of their own for what they think is a violation of the liberal orthodoxy in 10 seconds. Matt Damon, one of the biggest liberals around, him and Affleck, leftists through and through.
Yeah.
Did you see Affleck complaining about Islamophobia in the U.S.? He's the one who took on, if you recall, Bill Maher about speaking harshly that not every Muslim is a terrorist and how dare you this and that. That was Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. They're joined at the hip, all right? I loved it when people turned on Affleck because they found out he had slave owners in his ancestry. Like, look, we joke about
it. He tried to have it edited out
because he knew what would happen. Look, we laugh about it. What the fuck did Ben Affleck have to do with his great-grandfather owning slaves?
Yeah, in Georgia. What has that got to do with him and his douchebag life?
But you liberal cocksuckers can't let that go, can you? So you eat your own. You'd rather eat Ben Affleck alive, who's done so much for your side of the goofy causes. You'd rather eat him alive because he deviated from that.
Money he raised for Obama. Yeah. Money he raised for Kerry. Money that he raised for
Clinton, probably.
And, oh, please. For God's sake.
Matt Damon is another one of these liberals. He has a differing viewpoint on diversity. You can't wait to fuck him over. That's what I love. Anybody who tells me the more tolerant party is the left, just watch this shit. Watch this shit. Yeah. How you will turn on your own motherfuckers in 10 seconds because they do not think like the Borg. Free thought is not allowed in the Democratic Party at all.
And Damon's only saving grace in this is that he gets to go home. His wife is hot.
Is she? Fair enough. But maybe they should be diverse. Maybe she should be like, I don't know, half Asian, half black.
Yeah, maybe a Mongolian Jew.
There you go. Nice. All right, Larry. Phil has given us the high sign. It's time where we have to get ready for our very special five questions with Big Fat John. Larry, I will wait until you go take a piss because you're always missing the interview. So enjoy this brief interlude and we'll be right back with our special guest. Welcome to another episode of Five Questions with Big Fat John. My guest today, very happy to have Brother Gunter von Trump, personal attaché to His Holiness Pope Francis.
My dear Big Fat John.
Okay. Brother Gunter, first question I have for you is, well, first of all, you just must be very excited to have had Pope Francis here in New York this week.
It is always beautiful when the field marshal visits his troops.
Oh.
I mean, when His Holiness visits the flock.
Okay. All right, let's move on to the next question. I wanted to ask you, is there any particular reason why His Holiness decided to visit New York ahead of other cities like Philadelphia on his visit here?
Because all the supply lines go through the New York Harbor, and he who controls the supply lines...
I meant, His Holiness loves Junior's cheesecake in Brooklyn. Okay. Well, Junior's is... the best cheesecake. Actually, this next question we got via email from one of our viewers, Mary. And Mary would like to know, what is it that His Holiness likes most about the United States?
Well, I can tell you, it is not those Christ-killing jujubes. His Holiness loves red jujubes.
Alright, let's move on to a politically charged question. The Pope has called for the U.S. to take in 80,000 Syrian refugees, but in doing so has brought accusations of hypocrisy against them because he has never offered up the Vatican to house any refugees. How would you respond to these charges of hypocrisy against His Holiness?
Why should we take them in? They are 50 dirty, disgusting... I mean, we just had the cleaning lady in.
Okay. I think we have to wrap this up. Last question. Let's make this one a softball question. Brother Gunter, what would you say is His Holiness Pope Francis, what is his wish for all Americans?
To escape the control of the Jews?
On that note, thank you, Brother Gunter, for joining us on this episode of Five Questions with Big Fat John. Until next week, when we have a new guest in studio, Take it easy, America, and peace.
Papa Dugan!
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with a golden voice, and my testicles are killing me.